If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and I'm going to give you a short overview of a parable that you're probably very familiar with, but I think it will dovetail into some things that I'd like to discuss tonight, and then I'll give you a chance also to speak and talk a little bit about our ministry and what God is doing. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents, and as you know, the word talent in this parable does not necessarily refer specifically to something you can do or something you're good at. It also refers to money and investments and that kind of thing. So I'm going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 25. And it's a long passage, so we'll only read, we'll skip a couple. But beginning at verse 14, Jesus is telling the story. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. His property. Keep that in mind as we go forward. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. By the way, God is not a fair God. That's proof right there. That's another sermon for another day. Then he went away. The master went away. And he who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he that had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. You know what happens next? Somebody help me out. We're familiar with this. Give me a quick overview. The master comes back, and then what? He asked for an accounting of what happened while he was gone. I gave you this money. What happened? Tell me what happened. There was a reckoning. That's right. That's a good King James word. That's very accurate. They had to give an account of whose property? The master's property. That's correct. Thank you, Isaac. Appreciate that. He rewarded who? The one he gave 5, that made 5 more. The one he gave 2, that made 2 more, right? And we're on agreement. He rewarded them. And the one who had 1 talent, 1 measly talent, he could tie his shoes. That's about all he could do. I don't know how you want to look at that. What happened to him? Thank you for your honesty, Susie. For those who didn't hear, she always thought the Lord was too rough on him. Well, I'm glad you're not. Well, I don't know. You would be a nice person to work under, I guess. But you're not God, and neither am I. So we have to take the parable that Jesus tells us. So there is a reckoning, and there is judgment. And it's kind of sad because he safeguarded it. He hoarded it. He kept it. But he didn't do anything with it. And you and I know that someday we're going to stand before God. And I think you all understand this, and I'm pretty sure that we do. It's not just enough for us to be welcomed into heaven. My sins are forgiven, praise the Lord. That's wonderful, but that's only the beginning. There are rewards in heaven, and I don't have time to unpack that whole thing, but if you study rewards in heaven, there are rewards. Some people are going to be rewarded higher than more greatly than others in heaven. Sometimes we don't talk about that very much. Great is your reward in heaven is another phrase in Scripture. When I stand before God, I am going to be thrilled that my sins have been forgiven, and I'm going to be excited that I'm going to make it into heaven. But I also want to have something to give to him. Are you with me so far? I want to lay at his feet souls that have been won, accomplishments for his kingdom, not for my own personal gain, but for his kingdom. I want to make sure I've been a good steward, there's that word, of what God has given to me. Let me give you 5 things that we can pull from this passage. And I was doing some study on this and ran across another fellow who wrote these 5 things, and I like the way he wrote them, so I'm going to This is not all original with me, so if you don't agree with any of these, then it's okay. I'm using some other material tonight. One of the observations we make is this parable teaches us, number one, that success is a product of our own work. Now, I know we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest we should boast. I understand that. But the reason that we get up in the morning and we do what we do is because God has called us not to be lazy, not to hide our talents under a bushel, not to put them in a hole in the ground. We are called to work. And when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, before Eve was created, God gave Adam a job to do. The job wasn't a result of the fall. The job was to give Adam purpose and value in life. And we are, as Christians, to work, to use our talents and our abilities and our resources to glorify God, to further his kingdom. And I believe that biblical success isn't necessarily worldly success, having lots of money or lots of things, but biblical success is using the talents that God has given to us to produce something for which to lay at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this parable teaches us that success is a product of our work. Second thing this parable teaches us is that God always gives us everything we need to do what he has tasked for us to do or called us to do. Sometimes we think we need more money, or we think we need more talents, or we think we need more abilities, or we need this or we need that. But if we take a step back and we realize maybe the reason God isn't blessing us at this point with what we think we need is because we are not ready yet to do what he's calling us to do or what he will call us to do. I don't know how much a talent is worth in today's money. It's hard to know for sure. Different scholars have said different things, but it doesn't matter if it was one talent or a million talents. This man was given by the master exactly what he needed to accomplish God's will for what God had asked him to do. And the same with you and I. We are God's handiwork, the Bible says. We're created in the image of Jesus Christ. And we are created for good works. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. We're created to work. We're created to do things that bring honor and glory to God. And God gives us what we need to do what he has called us to do. Third thing that I observe from this and that I want to share with you is this. This parable teaches us that not all of us are created equal. In fact, none of us are created equal. I know that just kind of flies in the face of what we think we are. We have equal rights as Americans. We have equal value. Christ died for all mankind. But we're not equal in the sense that we have the same talents and the same abilities or the same bank accounts or the same perspective or the same capacity to do things as everybody else. We've talked about this before. God has given some of you gifts in areas that God hasn't gifted me. God's gifted me in areas that he hasn't gifted some of you. We're all different, but that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Some can be the hands, some can be the feet, some can be the eyes, some can be the ears, and we can all work together. Some may have five talents, some may have two talents, and some may have one, but we can all work together to bring honor and glory to God. So instead of talking about the unfairness of this, we need to say God knows what he's doing, and to whom much is given, much is required. So the fourth thing is this parable teaches us not only that we're not created equal, but it teaches us that our work is to be for the master and not our own selfish purposes. When the master came back and he asked for an account of the talents, they were to turn it in and give an account. There was a reckoning. And we are going to have that same reckoning. And whatever God has given to us, we have to give it back to God and tell him what we've done with it and how we've used it. So we should use our talents not for our own personal purposes. I'm not saying you shouldn't drive a nice car. I'm not saying you shouldn't own a fishing boat. I'm not saying you shouldn't ever go on vacation. But ultimately, we have to make sure that we are working not just for ourselves. We're working for the kingdom of God. And then the fifth thing that happens whenever we see the end of this parable is we're going to be held accountable. for how we steward our life and how we steward the resources of our life. The unfaithful steward in this parable, he wasted the master's money in a sense. Although he kept it, he gave it back to him. It's not that he just wasted money and he didn't make more money. He wasted an opportunity to do something for the master. He wasted an opportunity that the master had placed in front of him, and he squandered that opportunity. He turned in the money, he turned in the talent again, but he had missed the opportunity. And we are responsible for what we do for God, and one day we're going to be before him, and we're going to give an account. And what I want to hear that master say on that day is, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." So, how does this relate to us here at Faith Chapel? Based on this passage, there is a philosophy of ministry that I've had rolling in my mind for many years, and it's kind of how I approach things. I don't know if you noticed, you probably did. There's this huge, I say huge, it's so huge that none of our trucks can pull it, at least not very far, this bathroom facility out here. How many noticed that when you came to either CCYC or Family Fun Day? If you want to look, it's outside that window right there. You can check it out later after church is over. But that restroom trailer is interesting because it was donated for the purpose of helping with Carolina Christian Youth Camp. That was pretty neat. But because Carolina Christian Youth Camp is on the campus of CCA, and because CCYC is not a nonprofit, it's not an organization, in order to get the tax receipt necessary, it had to be donated to CCA on behalf of or for CCYC. We have too many acronyms rolling around here. So guess what? This was used for CCYC. And that was a couple of weeks ago. And that was good. That was wonderful. It was used for what it was donated for, and that's great. But yesterday, it was used again. And the thought was, hey, why don't we just leave it up? It's already in place. They already did the work. They already put it in place. David Miller spent about 60 hours putting in electric out there. I don't know how many hours you spent. A long time getting it all wired up. And Ben Rhodes and his family worked on getting in. Angie and Gloria cleaned it. And I don't know who all worked in it. But anyway, it's there. So guess what I saw yesterday? I saw people using it. They were here for the Family Fun Day. It kind of was nice that they didn't have to come in the church and they could go right. That's a good thing, right? But what if I told you that I got a call from the director of CCYC who said that was given to be used for CCYC? And I expect it to be parked on a lot somewhere and a tarp put over it and it not to be used until next year for CCYC. That didn't happen. I'm assuming some of you were nervous that maybe that did happen. No, that didn't happen. Because we get it. It was donated to CCA. And by the way, CCA hasn't even used it yet, really. Our church has used it and CCYC has used it. CCA hasn't even used it. But we will. We'll figure out a way to use it. That was donated. And guess what? It's not sitting on a lot somewhere. It was used yesterday when we had 340 people here. I say that's pretty neat, right? I'll give you another example. I'm the director of Youth Challenge, and because of that, I have the great responsibility of bringing home stuff from Youth Challenge every year that we use for the event, like lights, and there's a couple of them, packages sitting up here, lights that are owned by Youth Challenge that we use to decorate the stage and the platform and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's in October, and I bring everything home on a trailer, and our church has the graciousness to store it. They don't have a choice because I just say, I need a place for all this stuff. And Pastor Jeff and I, we figure it out. We find a place to put it. But you know what happens in December? Just a little event called Journey to Bethlehem. And Journey to Bethlehem's at night. And do you know what we need for Journey to Bethlehem? We need some lights. And so I go to the director of Youth Challenge and I say, hey, do you mind if we borrow some lights? To which I reply, no, I don't mind at all. Let's use them. because it's for ministry. Now, I don't want them to be abused. In fact, I would never want us to mess up. If our people yesterday messed up this trailer, then our church, because it's our ministry for Family Fun Day, we would try to fix it back up. We're the ones that fixed it up to start with. Our church did. But we would want it ready for CCYC next year. The same way with the lights. If we messed up the lights or we blew the bulbs, LED bulbs, I don't know, can they be blown? We could do something to plug them into 220, they'd probably be blown. Next year for Youth Challenge, we want those lights to be ready to go because we'll need them again. But all year long, guess what? We can use them. In fact, I had another tech guy at Youth Challenge. He said, hey, what are you doing with all those lights? Are you just going to put them in storage? I'm like, oh, somebody found out my secret. And I said, no, we use them, and I don't think we need all of them. And he asked to borrow several, and so that's no problem. There's another church in Indiana that's been using lights for their Christmas program. I think that anything we have, we should be good stewards of to use it for ministry. If we have resources or vehicles or, I'm trying to think of some other examples. Let's see, what do I have down here? Whatever it is, I think we think of talents as in abilities that human beings have, but the resources we have should be used for ministry. And sometimes ministry looks a little different than what we're used to. Youth Challenge looks a whole lot different than Journey to Bethlehem. And Journey to Bethlehem looks a whole lot different than Family Fun Day. And all these different events and all these different things that we do, all of them to be good stewards for the kingdom of God. So our building here, we just remodeled the youth center. We took out some classrooms and made it into a youth center. The board was in favor of that, and we talked to all of you, and you gave money towards that, and now it's our finished youth center. Why? Because we're trying to be good stewards of the resources that God has given to us. So we've heard all these examples or all these sayings that hard work pays off, and you got to work hard to make the dream. You got to dream work. Hard work makes the dream work, or something like that, or teamwork makes the dream work. There's work in there somewhere. We've heard all these different sayings, but the truth is, and those are true, but God wants us to not only work together, God wants to use our resources together for His honor and glory. And yesterday was incredible to me, just to see God bring all those people in and us be able to connect with them was wonderful. CCYC was incredible to me, to see those young people making headway spiritually and moving up the road. It's amazing to me. I love Youth Challenge because it's a big event. There's a lot of things happening. I like our small groups, even though that's a smaller thing. I like the spiritual growth that's taking place in the small groups. I think God is helping us. And I think God is helping our school, and God is helping other ministries that we're partnering with, like CCYC and Youth Challenge. And I want us to be good stewards, not only just with our own resources, but I also want to see us be good stewards with the resources God has given to our church, to our academy, to the ministries that God has given us to be a part of. So here's what I want to... We're kind of at a point in our church calendar year. We handed out the annual calendar this morning for 12 months, and we got a lot happening over the next few months. I want to know your thoughts. How do you think... What was your thoughts from yesterday? In fact, I want Ben Rhodes to come up here for a moment. He's going to share a little bit. When we were working on the bunkhouses, by the way, how many of you worked on the bunkhouses? Pastor Jeff probably didn't want me to bring that up. That's like a nightmare for him because he worked so many hours on the bunkhouses. We were working over there, and I remember talking to Benny about some of the youth challenge, CCYC stuff that was happening. And he had an idea of something that's kind of out of the box, and it's an idea I want to share with you. It's not my idea. It was his idea. So if it's a flop, we'll still say it was a good idea. But come share a little bit. This is kind of out of the box, but maybe it's a good way to use our resources for God's word.
First, I want to say that I am more excited now than I've ever been in my life about the direction school is headed. I think we're on the verge of some big, big things. Nate Becker coming. Just, I don't know if y'all incredible to have Nate Becker join our team. Is it on? There we go. So, Nate is a big thinker, big out-of-the-box thinker, and he has inspired me greatly. And I've went to him many times with ideas and counseling, and he just adds to my ideas. And he has some big, big ideas that y'all will hear soon. But about using our resources, you know, sometimes there will be a big project presented that kind of strikes me that I think is worthy and I want to participate in, and the offering plates are passed to collect money for this project. And at that particular point, I'm a little bit strapped financially and I feel bad because I can't give. It's something I'm passionate about and it's something I want to see go forward, but I'm just not financially capable at that moment. And I'm sure all of you have been there, but we have some projects getting ready to roll out here on CCA campus where I think every one of us can give. If you can't give financially, there is some way that you can give. And we're getting ready to do the Nate Becker is moving in where our VIP is right now, so we're getting ready to do a remodeling on the other end of that building so that we can still have a VIP to house evangelist and different things. And that is a big project where we need help. We have some bunch of beds, some refrigerators, all kinds of stuff already been donated. Steve Jarvis has donated some materials and has allowed me to use some tools that I do not have access to. So there's ways that his resources are being used and donated. And then we come up with this idea, been rolling around for a while and it's been developing, about something brand new, way outside the box we've never done. And one thing I want to be careful about is everything that we do needs to somehow fit our why we exist as a campus and as a school. And I believe that the campus of CCA is there to serve our community. And everything we do needs to somehow serve our community. And the ultimate way we can serve our community is showing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the school exists, the academy exists, to educate our children with a biblical worldview. And that's how the school serves our community. And CCYC serves our community through their through bringing young people at a crossroads with Christ. And so everything up there serves our community. And there's a lot of people in our community that different ones here have struggled to connect with. I think of some of our neighbors. And we've got this idea of putting on a, we're going to call it a vintage farm show. I got that right? Not sure if I got that name right, but that's what it is. It's going to be a vintage farm show where we have demonstrators come in from all over. We have demonstrators coming from Michigan, all the way from Florida, and all over North Carolina to demonstrate antique tractors, antique engines, farm demonstrations of different sorts. And this is going to serve us in multiple ways. It's going to provide income. It's going to also provide us an opportunity to bring the gospel to a group of people who many of us have been witnessing to for years, but struggling. You know, some of them, it's hard to get them to come to church. Some of our neighbors, I know for a fact, will attend this event. And during this event, we've asked Pastor Heath to have a gospel presentation. The event will look something like this. The first year we will have we will hold it on a Friday and a Saturday night in June. I don't have the dates. I probably should have took notes, but we will have the exhibitors set up. We were hoping to have some campsites. That's another project. We're wanting to put in a bunch of campsites for for our main camp, and this event would utilize them campsites, and several of our other events would utilize them. But if we can get them campsites put in, I feel confident that we can rent out at least 30. I could probably rent out 50 if we had them, but I don't think we're going to have that many the first year. So we'll be able to rent out campsites to the exhibitors. The dorm rooms are going to be available to the exhibitors. And then if we advertise this right, I feel confident that we can have a huge number of people from our community come in and participate in farm show demonstrations. And there's going to be a lot of kids' activities. We're going to do a giveaway for our exhibitors. That's been a huge drawing card. I don't know if any other engine show that has given away an engine, but we're going to give away an antique hit miss engine. And all of our exhibitors will have an opportunity, a chance, put their name in for that drawing. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of traveling. I'll be going to Boone next week. I got a couple other places I'm going to go throughout the summer and the fall to try to promote this. And I would like, my goal is I would like to see 50 to 75 campers here on campus demonstrating for 2 days. And then next year, I would like to add Thursday and make it a 3-day show. So I know this is way outside the box, way different than anything we've ever done. But we're going to use Journey to Bethlehem's stage that Journey to Bethlehem built to have live music. And that's where Pastor Heath will do a gospel presentation on Saturday. And followed by the giveaway or something. I don't know how exactly that will be structured. But then a lot of the engine show people will want to stay Saturday night and pack up and leave Sunday. So Pastor Heath has offered to have a special service for any of those who we could talk into joining our church service Sunday morning, which I think is another tremendous opportunity. Some of these people, many of these people who will be at this show, our family has been in contact with for years and tried to witness to many of them. And one of them I'm thinking of in particular, actually a few years ago, gave his heart to God. And he is now teaching Sunday school, and he is a board member. And I don't take credit for that, but, you know, I did. These are people that I have tried in many ways to reach. In some ways it's difficult because you only see them at the shows. You never have really an opportunity to invite them to a service. And we're going to have all of them at one time out in front of our Journey to Bethlehem Herod's Throne deal. And we're going to have the opportunity to have gospel music for them and to present them with the gospel. So I'm really, really excited about this. It's going to be, I think it could be a good opportunity to raise some funds for the school as well, because we're going to have some ways that people can donate. And we're going to need all y'all's help in many ways to make all these projects happen. But just in the VIP renovation, you know, we need materials, we need hands, we need lots of hands. And with this, we're still in the developing stages of figuring out what we can and cannot do with the campsites. My goal is, I hope we can somehow figure out a way to put in about 30 campsites. I'd like at least 20 of them to have sewer, but there's a lot of legal things we have to work through there. We have to get the power company involved, probably have to get inspectors involved. So we're right at the very beginning stages of that. So help us pray about this project, because Nate Becker has some big dreams about our main camp, growing our main camp, and he wants these campsites to do that. And they can be used for many, many other projects in the future. So help us pray that we'll be able to make this happen.
Any questions? Here's what's interesting. I'm not the only dreamer around here. Yes, Pastor Jeff. Hit and miss sounds like something you're not supposed to. Oh, that's hit and run. I'm sorry. Everybody know what an engine show is? Huh? Denton. They have one down in Denton. That's right. Don't ask me if I've ever been to one. I think the first time will be next June, probably, for me. That's good. Does that mean if you have all these engines, does that means it's going to be loud around here? A little bit loud? I don't know if we can have that or not. So that's just something on the horizon, and there's a lot of details to work through there. But maybe God is going to place an idea or a passion in your heart. I know Barb Carter is not in here tonight. She's at Kids Club, which is where she wants to be and where she needs to be. But if she were here, I would try to compliment her and tell you about her and then Pastor Jeff working together to put this family fun day together. It sounds a little bit out of the box. We've always had a vacation Bible school. But you know what? Every week we have vacation Bible school for the kids in Kids Club. And I connected with our neighbors that I haven't talked to in a long, I haven't had a chance or a opportunity to talk to. And things like that. Let's just pray that God continues to open doors. And you might say, wow, I don't know if I have time to volunteer for all that stuff. Well, you don't have to. Maybe God has given you this amount of time and you're dedicated to these things. Well, God has other people that will step up as long as you're doing what God's asked you to do and I'm doing what God has asked me to do. So let me ask you real quickly. We have a little bit of time left. What were your observations from yesterday? Any stories, encouraging stories from Family Fun Day? Somebody you connected with? Yes. So Brianna attended our Sunday school. Okay, cool. In our school. All right. Good. I saw some people that came this year that were here last year. That was good. Amazing. Did you observe how many said they had church homes? Did some of them already have churches? Yeah. Pry. Sherry Pride. Yeah, you're going to be stuck greeting David and Sherry, Journey to Bethlehem, and you'll probably get stuck at the, I don't know. Yeah. Amen. Good. I was able to take a couple through. In fact, I brought them in the sanctuary, took them into Kids Club, and their granddaughters, what they were talking about. Needing a place for her to go, and then showed them our youth center and all that kind of stuff. That was exciting. Someone else, any stories or observations you made? Yep, I talked to a lady over here as well. And in fact, Mr. Ron, you should get a phone call from a lady. I told her you were away at a funeral, but you were here last year. But yeah, there were a number of interests in the school. And we put the school brochure in our whole packet that we handed out, so that was good. I thought there'd be more stories than that. They really like the hot dogs. That's good. That's right. Do you have a plan for that, Ben? How much a plate? That's good. Good comment. That's good. How many of you remember the car? I think I made a mistake and called it a car show. But anyway, remember the car show we did on a friend day a couple of years ago? Wasn't that a roaring success? I'm looking for Zach. How many cars did we have here? I think we had three or four, yeah. It was great. Oh, is that what it was? We're going to blame it on the weather. That's good. Smooth move there, Tim. I like that. Blaming them. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So we've tried things before, but I didn't have all the connections that Ben has, so we'll see what happens. I really believe that God is going to use all of these interactions to allow us to point people to Christ. Why is the church doing the show next week or wherever you said in Boone or something? Do they have an ulterior motive, like something spiritual going on? Okay. So it's a kind of a fundraiser for ministry type thing. Any other comments or questions? Good. Did they say why or how they heard about it? Did we ask them that? Am I thinking of Journey to Bethlehem stuff? That's good. Well, good. Facebook. God can use anything if he can use Facebook. Yes. mom liked it? Was she here? How did she like it?
Oh.
See, I don't understand these things. And what if... I think if we read Revelation and the end times, I think Mark Zuckerberg is going to be in there somewhere. Not to scare you, but have you ever been talking with someone about something and then you pick up your phone and an ad pops up about the very thing you were talking about? That is unnerving to me. Knew you were coming to church? What's it? Who's it? Oh. We're going off the grid, folks. As soon as possible. By the way, does anybody get the Thomasville Times? Did you see that? I'd like to see it. Oh, did you? Okay. There was an article about the missions trip, and yeah, I need to. Yeah, those three boys are on there too, but yeah. Well, if your sports editor wants to interview our missions trip, we'll talk to him too. I don't know how that connects, but we'll see what we can do. She just called me and Facebook. That's how that happened. That's a lot of stuff. I should be grateful for Facebook, really. That's a good way. It brought people to our event yesterday. It really, truly did. So, well, God is good. And let me compliment you on working for the kingdom of God. And I don't know, people... come around our church on work days and they see what you're doing and how you're working, and people are excited about what God's doing at Faith Chapel. So anything else? Am I missing something over here? Okay. Why don't you stand, and I'm sorry, I missed that. Go ahead.